What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Smoking Tire Podcast. This episode is brought to you by Roman. What is Roman? It's ED med, guys. It's ED. Listen, talking about erectile dysfunction is not easy. Usually we just brush it off, blame ourselves, saying things like, oh, I lost my mojo, or avoid it altogether with excuses like I had a long day at work, or just not feeling it, etc. But with Roman, it is easy to talk about. With a real doctor who can prescribe real medications. It's simple, safe, and totally discreet. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. The doctor will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it to you with free two-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and discreet. Getting started is simple.
And go to GetRoman.com/tire for a free online visit and two-day shipping.
ED used to be tough to tackle, but now there's Roman. Complete an online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/tire today. Go to GetRoman.com/tire today. If approved, you'll get $15 off your first order of ED treatment. That's GetRoman.com/tire. GetRoman.com/tire. We are also brought to you by Ritual. Get this. Ritual is a ritual for you and your health, right? Ritual is a subscription vitamin plan that is designed for you and your health. Men's diets are way behind where they probably should be. Over 70% of men don't get enough vitamin E, and 97% of men don't get enough vitamin D from their diet. I know I personally didn't get enough vitamin D, even though, like, I live and work in the sun half the time. But my doctor even prescribed me, like, a ton of extra vitamin D. But fundamentally, some men, and I put myself here, overvalue exercise and undervalue nutrition. And they think, if I look healthy, I am healthy. But there's more to health than meets the eye. Ritual is introducing Essential for Men, the obsessively researched multivitamin that's formulated to help fill nutritional gaps in men's diets. I started taking multivitamins a couple years ago, and it really has helped me with my recovery. It helps me when I can't eat all the vegetables I need to eat when I'm on the road. It helps me keep my immune system good, especially that vitamin D right now. And this stuff is really, really ideal for these purposes. Ritual's your new type of two-a-days from helping support heart health, normal muscle function, and normal immune function. This tiny step can have a big impact. And this subscription-based supplement is easy to start and easy to snooze. It's only about $1 a day to have essential nutrients delivered to your door. And here's where the delivery system is good. I almost always run out of my vitamins. I just don't make time to go buy more before I run out. Ritual solves that. They send more to you before you run out. Step up your nutrient game with Essential for Men. 10% off your first 3 months when you visit ritual.com/TST and start your ritual today. That's 10% off during your first 3 months at ritual.com/TST. 10% off for your first 3 months at ritual.com/TST.
We're also brought to you by Crown & Caliber. Guys, they are back. Crown & Caliber has a really fun contest going on right now. They are giving away a $4,500 gift certificate to Crown & Caliber. That'll get you a Rolex, an Omega, Panerai, Breitling. It'll get you something from almost every brand they sell at Crown & Caliber. The drawing ends September 4th, and the winner will be announced September 12th. So go to crownandcaliber.com/Matt. crownandcaliber.com/MATT to enter. crownandcaliber.com/Matt to enter to win a $4,500 gift certificate. Get the watch of your dreams at crownandcaliber.com/Matt.
All right, on this episode, I am in Jackson Hole at the Snake River Lodge, having just finished adventure drives. Zach is at home, having just finished a week-long camping trip at high altitude. We're catching up. We're talking about the Urus. We're talking about road tripping in coronavirus, and we're talking about a whole lot more. It's the Smoking Tire Podcast. Here we go.
It's the Smoking Tire Podcast, man. Oh, Zach's got the fucking Bears going on. Okay, here we go.
Well, what are you talking about? What's going on behind me? I'm not paying attention. I'm just out in the woods, man. You know,
just with your bear spray.
Just a mountain man. I had to leave that in Canada, so I have no bear spray.
I saw some real people. I saw some people carrying bear spray in this town that are not the type of people you would expect to be carrying bear spray. For instance, like a very well-dressed young black man who looked like he probably was dressed to like sell real estate or something, who was walking through Yellowstone National Park, freestyling to himself, but with a big can of bear spray clipped on his fashionable backpack.
Wow.
I was like, oh, that's how important bear spray
that's is. How yeah that's exactly
this dude important. Is gonna fuck his outfit right up for bear spray.
Yeah, a man who pays lots of attention to his outfit is going, this doesn't accessorize at all, but it's going to
correct. Jeez. So this is the call-in show. I have just finished the Adventure Drives road trip. I've driven 2,300 miles so far in the Lamborghini Urus across the Pacific Northwest, and calling in to home from the Snake River Lodge here in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. And I found out when I got here, or just before I got here, that the Snake River Lodge is actually owned by a friend of mine, this cool dude named Doug, who has a real cool fucking car collection. And I see him at all the LA Cars and Coffees. He's a hotelier. And he found out, I texted him, I was like, oh, we're going to be staying at your place. And he sent a lovely bottle of wine to the room for me and Hannah and gave me some swag. It was very nice. And he was like, awesome. Oh, I was like, oh, I'm gonna be doing a podcast later. You know, I'll shout you out. He's like, oh, do you need a suite to do the podcast from? And I was like, no, thank you. I was going to do it from the fire pit on the outside where, like, last night I ripped like a 340 megabit upload speed out there while having a cigar. And I was like, oh, dude, podcast at the fire pit. But that didn't work out. So instead we're on like the back porch of the hotel.
Yeah, definitely smoother here, but that's very cool. And what are you drinking? And it's not Doug DeMuro. Everyone's asking. Everyone's probably already listening going, does Doug DeMuro own the hotel? No, he does not.
Doug DeMuro doesn't have a hotel. So Rob and I had some fans in Montana come bring us some Montana bourbon. And I'm embarrassed because I don't remember the gentleman's name. It was a guy and his wife or girlfriend. And they had driven up from somewhere and 4 hours away in a Ferrari 430. And it was like a young guy, and it seemed like, you know, the 430 was like his dream car. He was very stoked on it. I think he bought it from some other YouTuber that had fire damage or something, which I was like, really?
What? Okay.
But yeah, but he brought us this Montana. This is Montgomery American single malt whiskey. And he brought us a couple bottles of that. And so I figured I would try it because the Whistle Pig, as it turns out, that I was drinking with Rob last show, turns out that's like $200 a bottle. So I've got like three of those that are left over from the event. So they're coming home with me.
Was that swag from the event or do you?
Yeah, that was good quality swag.
That's really good swag.
And right, it was smart of Rob because Rob getting a liquor sponsor, it means like, we got good whiskey to drink. But it also means that like he was aware correctly that there would be very few places to drink, and in fact that there's a pandemic going on, and so even if bars are open in some of the places we were going to, I didn't necessarily want to hang out at a bar.
That's so a great
the
point.
Idea of being in the great American West and having some kind of back porch, any kind of back porch, a cigar and a good bottle of whiskey, that'll do it.
If you're in cowboy land, which you are, like you got to drink brown liquor, right? Yeah. It's got to be whiskey.
I thought we'd be a little more in cowboy land than we are. Like one of the places we stayed, which was called the Tetherow outside of Bend, Oregon, was truly like a lodge in the kind of middle of nowhere where it was all, you know, expansive grass and stuff like that. And all the other places we stayed, like, you know, at Big Sky, we stayed at like the big hotel that's like right next to the gondola, you know, at the mountain. Like here, Snake River Lodge is like right behind me. Here is the gondola for Jackson Hole. Today, dude, I don't know if you saw on the gram this morning. Hannah and I hiked Jackson Hole this morning. We hiked the entire ski mountain.
That's awesome.
I've never like looked at a ski mountain and be like, yeah, I'm gonna walk up that. But like today we did that shit. It was like 2,800 foot vertical. And went all the way to the top of it. It was awesome.
What elevation do you start at? What do you finish at?
You start at 67 and change, and you end at 91 and change. It's a 2 hour, 20 minute hike.
Up or round trip?
2 hours and 20 minutes up. And
yeah,
we
okay.
We actually took the gondola back down.
Do you walk up the fire road, or do you go up like a
they
like
have
a run?
No, I someone who clearly doesn't ski yesterday was like, oh, they've got a trail. You just like walk up. It's like a green run that you're walking up. And I'm like, oh, okay. Like I could walk up a green run, but it becomes apparent very quickly that that's not what this is. This is a trail that somebody made. You know, it crisscrosses several ski runs, but it's a hiking trail. But oh my God, by the time I got to the top, I mean, we were taking about 30 steps and then having to stop, you know, for 30 seconds and taking 30 steps and stopping for 30 seconds. So it was tough. But you just did a lot of hiking too, altitude. How'd it go?
I did. We were camping at 10-7 and I did a solo hike. You know, I went with my dad and his friend. They're both like 71 years old. So we did some day excursions, but kind of like 3 hour excursions. Mm. And they're like, you probably need more exercise than this, because I was getting bored. They're like, why don't you hike Mount Star? So Mount Star is above a pass I crossed before, and it's about 12:08.
Oh God.
So I got up at like 5 a.m. on Wednesday and left camp. And it was, I think I was at the top of Mount Star at 9 a.m. So it was like a 3 hour walk up there. And some of it was cross country, which is really cool. Like you go off trail and you just go, I'm going that way. And you just figure out how to go, which is more interesting, you know, instead of kind of taking because the trails up there were a little busy because it's July.
Right.
And a lot of other vacation options are closed. So
yeah, but your camp was like a hike in only camp. Like how busy could it have been?
It is, but we didn't camp in as remote a place as last time. We camped this place called Little Lakes Valley, which is one of the most beautiful places I've ever been to, but it has a parking lot at 10,000 feet. So a lot of people do day hikes in there. Mm. It's kind of like you can go there and hike 3 miles in and be at our campsite. So three in and out with only a couple hundred feet elevation isn't like a big deal. There's a lot of people day hiking. Some are prepared for day hiking and some are not. And then a hailstorm showed up the day after, or the afternoon of my big hike, and probably wrecked some fools, because it was like corn puff sized, you know, like tricks are for kids size hail for an hour.
Yeah.
It was gnarly. But so I hiked up to Star Mountain. I sat on the edge of this sheer cliff, and I have never been worried about earthquakes until that moment. I was like, oh yeah, that's when these are a problem.
Down. Yeah.
I'm dead.
No, so that pretty much puts my hike to shame, but it was hard as fuck still. I mean, I can't imagine how hard that must have been, especially without a trail. Like, I'm not fucking with that. We're clearly different people.
I was only off trail for like 40% of it, but it's just, you know, altitude, and you just kind of get going.
Hannah and I, yeah, I mean, we've been at altitude we've been at like six the last couple days. Like Yellowstone's at six, Teton was like 6-7. I didn't really feel altitude problems until I got almost to 9, and then it was like, it's kind of hard to breathe now.
Yeah
I was also very tired.
You do way more cardio than I do. Like you could totally do any of these higher peak things.
Yeah, I just need to adjust for a little bit. This one, though, I was like, it's just like the fucking LA hikes. You know, there's like some super hot second wife, you know, in Lululemon with like a $60,000 Rolex and a Starbucks, just chatting it up as they just blow by you 2/3 of the way into this hike. And I am drenched in sweat, huffing and puffing. And I get it. Like, I'm kind of fat, but still, I do, like you said, a lot of cardio.
Yeah.
And my wife is petite and very fit and also does a ton of cardio and exercising. And these people just, some of these, I mean, a couple, I get it, like a group of like, you know, 25-year-old, you know, guys, like fresh out of college, athletic looking dudes walk by you, like, you know, smoke you on the trail. Like, all right, cool. I get it. Like super athletic woman, like, you know, rock climber type person just smokes you. Like, all right, the occasional freak, like running up the trail. You're like, oh, yeah, you're not even human. But it's the one that's like, they're 2/3 of the way up. They've climbed like 2,000 feet. They're not sweating. There's no sweat. If they're holding a fucking Starbucks, and you just go, what species are you?
We just get Botox everywhere, because Botox blocks sweat. It, like, you actually, a friend of mine had a sweating problem in college, and he's like, I could get Botox injected in my armpits because it plugs the sweat gland. Yeah. So there's those people.
Don't you just fill up like a balloon? Like,
when I think it goes elsewhere. Then you sweat out your eyelids or something terrible, you know? Yeah, there was there were two people on this trail that were very opposite and the same. One was a 65-year-old man carrying a full week-long backpack. And he, I crisscrossed the trail with him. He was ahead of me by about 50 feet. I never caught up to him. And I was wearing a 20-pound pack, and I thought I was walking fast. And then there was a kid who was 20 carrying one water bottle and just jogging. And he just jogged up to the same pass I did and back down. Like, you must live here.
Who are these people? I think there's a lot of activity that goes on this mountain here. So there's a lot of locals doing biking and all kinds of stuff. Like, there was like a third of the way up the mountain was like a full on like exercise class. Like they walked like
what?
Yeah, you know,
people to carry some weights up and then do.
That's why you moved to Jackson Hole, I guess, to do shit like that.
Yeah,
I guess
you got fill your life with activity, and a lot of it just has to take place on the mountain.
Yeah, but as you pointed out a few minutes ago, there's not a lot of other vacation options besides stuff like this. And so being able, right now in Jackson Hole, it's 20% up tourism from last year.
Whoa.
So like Hannah and I went to town to like grab some, you know, souvenirs and whatnot, because we're leaving tomorrow. And it was so busy that we were both wearing masks like outside fully, like, wow. Fully, as soon as we got to the car, it's like, yep, masks, like, naughty, you know what I mean? It was like Times Square busy.
So is the hotel full and like beyond capacity because it's 20% more tourism, or is it?
I mean, the hotel's busy. Like getting a restaurant, getting a reservation for dinner was a real challenge. Like it was, it was very interesting. And like we went to Yellowstone yesterday, and I've never been to Yellowstone. It's really, really cool.
Yeah.
It's really cool. It's all, so yeah. Have you been to Yellowstone?
No, I want to go. So
what it's about is geothermic activity. That's right. What Yellowstone is. Like, you know, Yosemite is like big mountains. Zion is the canyons and the river, right? Yellowstone is geothermals. And so you've got geysers and you've got pools and you've got bubbling springs and you've got all this kind of just weird shit.
It's the teenage face of the world.
Right. Yeah. And in the middle of it, you've got Old Faithful, which is like the landmark of fucking landmarks, right? And so they did a pretty decent job at Yosemite of managing the crowds, but the crowds were like, oh man, it was really, really busy. The traffic getting in and out of there was insane. And so I think it's very interesting, you know, what it's like to sort of travel and have a sort of summer during the pandemic. Now, granted, I saw fairly strong mask usage, you know, in not necessarily outdoors. And actually, on Adventure Drive, I talked about this with Rob, we had a physician with us. Oh. And not just a physician. Her name was Lily. She rules. What is Lily? She works at Columbia Hospital in New York City. Columbia, whatever. She's in the ER, trauma center.
Wow.
And she... Her ER had the record in March for the most number of coronavirus patients in one day. It was like 270 patients in one day. Oh, my wife just walked by. And she got coronavirus like in April. And she, you know, she's as much of an expert as you're going to find. And so we had a lot of conversations about it and, you know, about how we felt to be traveling and all that kind of stuff. And she was like, look, if you're compromised, don't travel, period. But if you're otherwise healthy, you know, she said that masks indoors and hand washing and hand sanitizer are so effective. Those two things are so effective that if everybody did those things, you wouldn't have to do anything else.
Yeah.
So simple. Yeah. And this is like a person who has treated thousands upon thousands of coronavirus patients. And so we had a lot of talks about that. And I think, you know, all the businesses, you know, it seems like even in what you might call red states. You know, there's signs on the doors that it's official policy is wear masks inside and stuff like that. And some of the policies are, you know, as I talked about with Lily, doctor, some of the policies are a little inconsistent and not necessarily driven directly by the science. They could be driven by other things. And so the idea that if you're sitting at a table, you can take the mask off, but if you're standing right here, you know, some of that stuff is a little ridiculous, but anyway, it's busy out here, man. You know, it's busy out here. And actually what's really interesting about it is the roads are so good in the Pacific Northwest. Just the transit roads are so beautiful and so nice.
Totally.
But there's so much traffic. There's a lot of cars on these roads, and these are single lane roads. So, you know, either you have to mentally prepare yourself to drive very aggressively and make passes, not double yellow, but make passes on every dotted section. You're passing RVs and trucks and guys towing boats and all kind of shit. Either you have to drive, you know, cannonball, or, you know, you're sitting there doing 54 and a 65 behind a line of 50 cars, you know, and it's actually, you know, I'm driving this Lamborghini Urus, which I've actually come to really, really like. It's such a charming and nice thing. There's so many good things about it, and fucking $250,000. There better be so many good things about it. You know what I mean? But like, it's not purely a branding exercise. It's actually a very, very nice thing. But Lamborghini has figured out that I think like Porsche, they can nickel and dime. And they will call it a la carte, you know, they'll let you customize whatever. So the base price of this thing is $207,000. The one I'm driving is $270,000. So it has $63,000 in options in it. And it within an options list that would buy you a Porsche Boxster, okay, radar cruise control and cooled seats are not included.
No way.
So not you don't get those things for $207,000 base price. Like so here's
is
the
that
thing.
Like an additional tech package or something they sneak in?
Yeah, the cooled seats, cooled massage seats is a package, and then the tech package is another one that's I don't even know what else it has besides Radar Cruise or if that's a standalone, but as anti full AVs as I am, and I've been pretty clear about that kind of stuff, Radar Cruise, especially if you're on a single lane road, you know, that type of driving is mentally so exhausting.
I think that's the best invention that cars have had in the last 15 mm-hmm. years, honestly. Like, it's the most useful thing. It takes the most stress off the driver. It makes sitting in stop and go traffic like a totally different experience.
Yeah. And because you're steering still, your brain is still engaged.
Yeah. But you don't have to like, because if the car in front of you is varying its speed by 1 mile an hour every second because they don't have cruise control or they're messing around with their pedals or whatever, like mm-hmm. you don't have to do the same thing constantly for hour, right. You know, 2 hours.
And yeah. And like, you know, I know that I haven't been blessed with the most Adonis like figure. And I know that I haven't spent the last 20 years purely taking care of myself physically. But when I sit in a car, and even a very comfortable car like the Lamborghini Urus, it is very comfortable. If I sit in that car and I have to personally hold it with my foot at 55 for 3 hours or, you know, for, we just did 2000 miles, my leg hurts. Like my heel mm-hmm. actually is bruised from that. You know what I mean? It hurts over time. And so especially like, dude, Glacier National Park, the going to the Sun Road in Glacier National Park is visually and if you could close it down, one of the best roads in the world. As it is objectively, it's a 25 mile an hour road at almost all hours of the day because of just the amount of volume, right? And it goes through Glacier National Park. It's extraordinary. There's waterfalls that go over it. It's so awesome. And we drove it. Hannah and I got up very early in the morning to go drive that road when it was less busy and to hike. Up there, we hiked on a glacier, which was so awesome. Like it was like July 24th, and we hiked on snow. Like it was so cool.
I'm looking at photos of it, and there's water pouring onto the road, under the road. Wow, yeah. This looks. You know what this? I mean, with the little stone wall next to it, it looks like it would be Switzerland or Italy because we don't have that many places in America that have those kind of low stone walls. Wow.
So the picture that's from Glacier that you pulled up behind you, right? Your desktop background. Is that a
no, that park? That's shot. I took that on my hike, but I can.
Oh, really?
Let me pull one up for Glacier. This is amazing.
It looks like the hike we did at Glacier, but You know, we saw some moose, which was very cool. But ooh, the road, the cars. The point is, that road, even at 6 o'clock in the morning, was 45 miles an hour instead of 25 miles an hour. But it wasn't like we were having fun. So these national parks, radar crews really would give you just enough mental freedom. That's the road. Just enough mental freedom to have a look around and be able to, because you're going 25, you're not going to have like a massive crash, right, on radar cruise control. And I'm not saying you shouldn't pay attention to driving, but like just enough to look off and just enough to make your body not be so achy and tired at the end of, because you don't want a day in the national park to like beat the shit out of you. You know what I mean?
Well, also it's, I'm sure that car companies test this a lot where they go, all right, what is an option that we know they're going to pick because they're already spending this money that we won't give them for free? Whereas, like, if you get a Mazda CX-3 with the right package, you know, Radar Cruise is going to be included. I think it's actually included in some cars just standard now because it's like, it's a great way to bring someone into your brand. But if you know someone's already shown up at the door, you just go, look, you're not going to skip this. But it's
right. If I drive a new Hyundai and it's $45,000 and Radar Cruise is standard, I go, great. You know what I mean? Right. Every time we've driven a Hellcat, it's like standard cooled seats, right? It's $65,000, standard cooled seats, all Hellcats, you know, cooled cup holder like that. But I don't think cooled seats necessarily need to be standard. But Radar Cruise in a $200,000 crossover, I'm not talking about a Huracan or an Aventador. Yeah. I'm talking about a crossover. I'm talking about a car that there's an Audi and a Volkswagen, you know, alternative of. You know, I bet that Volkswagen, I bet you get the Volkswagen one with it for like $58,000.
That would be the interesting thing, is which cars underneath the same umbrella come with it, or which ones have it set at a higher price or a higher technology pack level or whatever. Like, huh.
And I'm not trying to say, yeah, go ahead.
Did it come with tech where you assumed if it has this, it should have this?
The only one of those techs I would say yes to is it's got the overhead 360 parking cam, which could be sold as a standalone option, but it does have it. Look, again, this is a minor complaint because this vehicle is available with this feature, and if you could just get it, right?
Yeah.
But do I think it's a bit whack that a $207,000 base price vehicle doesn't have something like that standard? I think that's a little lame, you know, but on the other hand, you know, this is the first, if you are a fan of Lamborghini and you are also a fan of the road trip, you know, this is the first Lambo since like the Espada.
Yeah.
You know, where you could really, you know, go out and take a proper, like you could go on a real road trip in this car, a real self-contained road trip. No, you know, Adventure Drives has a luggage truck, so that encourages people to bring their sports cars and not worry about their luggage. And it's a great thing that they include with the trip, right?
Yeah.
For sure, right? Because there's a dude in an NSX. He's got no trunk in that fucking thing. There's a dude in an Aventador. There's no trunk in that. So, like, yeah, bring the luggage truck, obviously. But the Urus, you could fit a full-size adult behind me. Like, but comfortable. My seat is on the back stops in this car, and you could fit you, a 6 footer, behind me. You could fit a 6'7" dude behind Hannah when she's driving. Wow. It's like a limo back there behind her. Like, the Urus is big for a Lambo, but it's not like, it's not a huge vehicle, right? It's a regular crossover size vehicle.
When's the last time they made a 4-seater at all? Was it the Espada?
Espada. No, LM002. LM002.
Yeah. But you don't want to road trip that.
Yeah, you're not road tripping that. It's unless you're Ben Abrams, because he's a boss.
Yeah.
But no one else is road tripping that. But this is, if you are, you know, I think, yes, of course, purism, blah, 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 Lamborghini, devalue the thing, platform sharing, okay. But it's built in Italy. It's not built in, you know, wherever the Volkswagen one is built. It's built in Italy, so there's that. It's very fast.
Yeah, it is. It is.
I mean, it's really, really fast. Like, I just drove across a very long distance with a fleet of very fast sports cars, and this was not a problem for me. It's invisible to the people that you want it to be invisible to, such as the police.
It is, because it's like, it is not a subtle looking vehicle, even in
it black, is when you, like, when you're driving it next to a bunch of real sports cars, it blends.
Gotcha.
You could make it blend, or you could make it stand out depending on how you did it up. You know, okay. The right
I
color.
See a yellow one here a lot, so it's not subtle, but I know what you mean.
Compared, like literally, Bro, the fleet got pulled over because someone in a Kia, like, called in racing on the highway. It was so super, super stupid. It's in the middle of nowhere, and I was leading the pack. And you know it wasn't racing because I was fucking leading, and I'm a bitch. I was going, like, 10 over whatever the flow of traffic was. But someone called in someone speeding, so the cops came out. Everyone got pulled over, and I just sailed on. And the cop who asked the dude in the fucking gold Aventador, PTS gold Aventador SVJ, what was that other blue thing? Who was that? What was he driving? He was like, oh, that guy wasn't. He wasn't even with us. I don't even know what that was. But, like, people don't know what they are yet, which is good. Except for, you know what, like, there was a couple really older dudes, guys in their 60s, who were like, that's not a fucking Lambo, you know, whatever. But kids, anyone under 20, that's as real a Lambo as anything else. You know what I mean? Yeah. Any young person, I let a bunch of, like, little kids sit in it, like 10-year-olds. They were so excited. Like, that's as real a Lambo as anything else to those kids.
Well, because they've grown up with crossovers being everywhere. Like, that's not a new thing for them. Mm-hmm. So they go, okay, Cayenne over here and Audi, fast Audi over there. And
Yeah. You know, it's the first Lambo in a really, really long time that that you could just use as a car. And I mean, you can use a Huracan as a car if you're the right size and have the right life needs. You know what I mean? But I'm talking about four people and their shit going 2,000 miles, total comfort, you know, and that's really excellent. And there's room. Uh-oh, you okay there?
Yeah, I'm pulling up a Lambo interior photo.
Oh, cool. There's, you know, I think there's room for a market like that. I think they'll sell for a vehicle like that. I think they'll sell a lot of them. And I don't hate it. I don't hate it ideologically, because I think that if they made a sedan, it would have less room and hold less stuff. I wouldn't want to go any faster than this thing goes. This thing goes fucking crazy fast. I don't need to go that last 5% that it would get because it's a sedan. In fact, I appreciated the adjustable height and the ground clearance quite a few times on this trip. I drove on a little dirt road. It was pretty fun.
Yeah, that's really, really, really key. I mean, I went on my trip. I drove my car, and just being in parking lots with 2 to 4 inch rocks, like basic dirt parking lot. But if you're in my car, stock ride height with 18s, and I was nervous about popping those things. So having something like that where you can just raise a little bit, drop it down a little bit, because the drive to the outdoors is usually great. As you've shown, I mean, the road I went up was amazing.
Yeah.
Great third gear sweepers. The road you went up was amazing. But when you get to the final mile, the infrastructure near there is usually like, it's more suited to a van or a truck. Yeah. And then you're kind of in trouble.
Yeah. And I mean, you can see in the photo behind you that you're showing as your background of the Going to the Sun road, like, yes, they are following some car from like the 30s, but that all that traffic on that road, that's what that looks like. And so, you know, for this trip, while it's ideologically seems very cool to drive a mid-engine sports car 2,000 miles across the Midwest, the fact is, like, 85% of what we did was pure transit. Now, maybe it was a nice road with some sweepers and stuff, but if your car is capable of a certain level of performance, which a fast crossover in 2020 most certainly is, beyond that, it doesn't really need to go much faster. Yeah, so that interior that you've shown there, it's black and red, and art is black and blue, but it doesn't have a blue glove box. It's just black with contrast stitching. You've got all that, the carbon.
I just want to show, like, if you're letting little kids sit in this is a Lamborghini supercar to them, because this doesn't look like a dull SUV interior. Like, Lamborghini knows their market, and they know you want to think, you want to be like, yeah, I'm sitting in a Lamborghini no matter what, so...
Yeah, and yes, a lot of people were really into it. Women loved it. Women were like, I need this. This is what I need in my life. I think the fact that it has frameless doors is really cool.
Very cool.
I think that's a nice, and considering it has frameless doors, the refinement of it is extraordinary. It's really quiet in there. What it sounds like outside and what it sounds like inside are completely different. It does.
I drove one in the dirt on a TV shoot, and like the dynamics with everything off on dirt it's like a rally car.
Pretty good.
Real good. Yeah, it's very good.
Well, the rumor is that the Super Trofeo version and of the Urus, whatever you want to call it. I don't know if it's Super Trofeo, but the fast one will actually be a rally car. That the Super Trofeo, and I'm talking about the race car. I'm not talking about like a Performante. I'm talking about like they are doing, or told us that they were doing a spec Urus rally series. I don't know if it was rally in the woods or if it was rally cross on those European circuits. But the implication at the launch last year was that the highest performing race variant of Urus would be a rally car, which would be amazing.
I imagine rally cross, because that's a big car for mm-hmm. you know, in the woods rallying.
I don't think it's woods. Yeah. I think it's rally cross.
That's really cool.
It's customer racing, right? It's not professional racing. Right. So you're not going to get customers to race, you know, $250,000, 600 horsepower rally cars in the woods. Like, yeah. It's just not going to happen.
And if you have basic driving experience, you could jump into rallycross and like, you'll be okay. Yeah. You probably won't crash and hurt yourself too much. And you understand where you're going over and over and over again.
Yes.
But jumping into the woods with that kind of power would be real bold. That's cool.
Terrifying. You know, look, it's expensive, and on a totally objective this versus this, you know, you can get a very fast Range Rover or a very fast Cayenne or a very fast X5 for less money, you know, mm-hmm. or a very fast Audi Q8 for a lot less money. Part of what you're buying into is the brand and the styling. Totally. Part of what you're buying into is the performance, which is extraordinary. And some level of exclusivity and whatnot. And then there's a real hefty profit margin built into all the carbon. Like, this thing has like, the one I'm driving, it's got like 40K in carbon in it. And it's like,
is it the almost, chopped carbon or the kind of woven carbon?
No, it's not the, it's not, it's okay. woven. It's woven.
Good.
Yeah. yeah.
Good.
It's woven, but there's a lot of it. Very little of it makes any difference. You know, it does add to the overall, you know, flavor of the car, but there's a Boxster in options in this thing.
It's crazy.
And most of them are purely cosmetic.
Yeah.
You know, you can really choose your own adventure. But they're all really expensive. I mean, they're, you know, and so it's hard for me to, it's not hard to review a $200,000 car. It's just hard to, like, you know,
well, there's a lot of competition in that space, and there's a lot of cars that
it's also
that
a lot give of who you, gives a fuck.
A lot of there's who gives a fuck.
Like, there's yeah, rich people being rich people. Who gives a fuck? Why is this news? You know what I mean? But
you know, if the car, if it's $500,000, if it's $1 million, there's still some awesome stuff out there that rich people can afford, and I'm glad they can, because it makes companies build these spaceships that we get to see and enjoy. Yes. And appreciate, and it inspires other, you know, kids sometimes. And sometimes it trickles down and sometimes it doesn't. But I think with this, you can get a lot of the way there with, you know, a mid $100,000 car, like, you know, the SVR or something like that.
Yes.
But I will, and while I don't really like the Urus styling, I will say that the three fast SUVs I do like, which are like the SVR and the Range Rover Sport, they kind of look similar in shape both to each other and to other SUVs. And once you hit a certain price point, you don't want to be confused with something inexpensive.
Right.
So I get it.
The real difference between this and like the X3M and the Macan Turbo, because like a good driver could probably drive an X3M or a Macan Turbo fundamentally as fast as they could drive this.
Mm-hmm.
But the backseat space, it's a physically bigger vehicle. So, oh.
Well, this is more against a Cayenne Turbo S, right?
Yes. Yes. It's really nice. You know, I don't hate it. I hate it in yellow, but in other colors, I it's really like, I get why you'd want to drive one. Like Rob Ferretti had the best line. It's a Lamborghini. It's something's for Lamborghini owners to drive when they're not, when they want people to know they're Lamborghini owners, but they're not driving their Lamborghini. It's like that. That's too many words.
That's like
seven too many words to make that joke, but it's, that's what it is.
Yeah, you can tell people you're a Lamborghini owner when you don't want to drive a Lamborghini, because, mm-hmm. you know, a Performante, like, it's low and tight, and it's kind of a pain in the butt to take to the store, even though supercars have gotten really good at that trick.
It's fine to take to the store. It's tough to take on vacation, It's tough to take on a road trip because you can't pack that much into it, especially the Lamborghinis, because they're all-wheel drive. If we're to, like, compared to the McLarens and the Ferraris and the rear-wheel drive Porsches, when you don't have that hardware up there, your frunk is much bigger. So a McLaren or a Ferrari will fit like twice as much shit in the front as a Lamborghini will, because they're not all-wheel drive.
Yeah.
NSX is even worse.
Yeah, I mean, that's why you guys had that luggage truck, and that's something people don't think about when they go, ooh, my favorite car is XYZ. I would drive it everywhere. You're like, well, you can't really take it to the grocery store unless you're making one sandwich just for you.
Yeah. No, this thing will hold luggage for four people. It's good. It's very good. And the stereo's really good too. There was a couple really kind of funky, strange things about it though. The door handles are all they're electric, but it's like a real handle, but that actuates an electric lever. So that's like funny. You pull them and it's like, it's clearly not actually releasing anything. And so there's like this really weird delay where you feel like it doesn't work, but then it does. So that's kind of weird. There's some little, like you have to put it in reverse. The lever is in the center console, but to put it in drive, you tug the paddle. Like you don't hit, you know, you know what I mean? So you have to go from this to this. Which to me is not that weird, because I drive supercars where the buttons are down here. But my wife is like, you're telling me that drive and reverse are in completely different parts of the car? I'm like, that's a good point. Drive and reverse are in completely different parts of the car. That's true. Okay.
So, it's like you got to activate it with a lever, then activate it with a different lever, and, you know, it's turning two keys. Yeah, that is a little silly.
It's a little silly. No, but you know, it's been cool. It's been cool.
And is it quiet on the road, like when you're just, you know, highway cruising? How's the wind noise? Yeah.
Oh, no, the car's good. The car's super refined. Yeah. If you put it in sport mode, it pumps the fake shit into the cabin and makes it sound a lot louder than it really is. You know, it's based on the Panamera turbo engine. So it's the 4-liter, you know, hot V thing. It's got a well-tuned exhaust. The cold start is pretty nice. You know, they've done a good job to aggro it up sufficiently. It's got a burble tune, because of course it does. But if you put it in strata, which is just like regular, it's very quiet. It's totally, it's like any other comfortable SUV.
Nice.
Hannah really likes driving it too. Hannah drove her highest speed she's ever driven, allegedly. She had never gone faster than 105, but of course we were on a closed section of road, and she managed to see 138, which is a good
number from 105. That's
a good number for her. She just needed some encouragement, and a nice closed stretch of road. It was good that she got her new top. I told her by the time, because we're in Jackson Hole right now. We're 900 miles from LA. We still got to drive home.
Yeah,
that includes Utah and Nevada. So I told her that we will find another closed road, and by the time this trip is over, 150 will be in sight.
Wow, that's a big difference from 105, man. I remember
that. Not in this car.
I mean, I hit like, I think I broke like 100 in my Pontiac, and then I owned slow cars. And then when I got my Jetta, which is not a fast car, but it was a car that felt safe going fast. And I hit like 138 in the middle of Nevada, and I just watched that number. I'm like, this is way beyond 106. You know, 106, 106 feels just barely on the naughty side, because it's just over three digits. You're like, it's just over 100. And then once you get way down that line, I don't know. It's different experience psychologically.
I agree. For her, she said the difference was substantial.
Yeah.
And afterwards, you know, after she hit that big number a couple of times, it was really funny, because she started cruising at like 110. it recalibrated. So she started cruising at like 110.
Well, especially when I bet she felt how good that car was at 130. And, you know, there's some cars that feel so at home at 130. You're like, why do we even drive this at a lower speed?
Yeah.
So competent. It's so smooth. It just feels so planted. As long as the road's good, of course.
Yeah. And a lot of straightaways out in Montana. Montana's good. Montana's really a good place to drive a car.
Yeah.
It's very civilized. Because I moved, Hannah was like, where the fuck are you? we went to Portland, which was really interesting.
I bet.
You know, we were only about five blocks from the
wow.
protests, which was really wild. And the whole city was shut down, you know, boarded up, graffiti. It was really, really wild. Obviously, the Portland stop was planned long before, you know, anything was going on. It was really sad. It's just a sad scene to see a city so shut. Now, let it be known that I'm on the side of the protesters and not on the side of the cops in this one. Certainly not on the side of the federales or whatever the fuck the unbadged camo guys are that are kidnapping people in the streets. I'm against them for sure. But it's just weird to see a city that I've been to and is, you know, generally a nice place just be like almost like abandoned, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I've been seeing the photos coming out of that whole place, and it's like most of the other cities have quieted down, which you don't want people to quiet down and move on from the movement and,
right.
you know, and the message behind the protesting. But like maybe I'm just checked out of what's going on around the rest of the country, but it seems like Portland is still on almost like day two, like where every other city was at on day two of the protests, Portland seems to still be there. And it's been like a month, you know, as far as intensity and violence.
It's been 2 months. I think it's almost been 60 days. It was like day 50 when we were going through there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, what were some of the your favorite stops along the way on this trip?
You know, so let me just paraphrase, or let me qualify this a little bit by saying that one of the things I really like about traveling is you can't do right now. You know, you can't. There's restaurants, bars, museums, you know, cultural things, because all the rules are always changing and all the rules are sort of unclear. And you know, we went in a bunch of different states with a bunch of different, you know, standards. Especially in the beginning in Washington and in Oregon, which had the strictest, you know, standards. And it was that part of it was sort of like, ugh, you know, I thought I'd love traveling, you know, and getting out of LA for a while, but like, this is actually kind of fucking, I'm here, but I can't do anything. It's just reminding me that, of what I'm not getting and not seeing, right? And of course, the point of traveling wasn't to like be able to go to restaurants and bars in another state as opposed to my home state where that stuff is not happening right now. That wasn't the point of it at all. So that part of it was really, really strange. On the other hand, you know, being able to see Glacier, Yellowstone, and Grand Tetons, and Crater Lake, the four national parks we went to, I'd never been to any of them. Wow. So getting to see those, getting to hike at all of them, you know, was really important to me and really cool. And so
you had enough time built in around the driving to do non-driving things, which is really important because we've both done a lot of like film trips and stuff, and you don't get to see anything besides the road and the task you're doing.
Yeah.
But it seems like they built in enough free time for you to do hiking and see the actual sites.
Yeah, I had to do the hiking. We had to depart the hotels 2 hours before the rest of the group. They didn't build that. They built in time to see the quick version of the sites, but not the time to take like a 5 mile hike. But okay. That's okay. That's fine. I mean, one of the good things about adventure drives is like, it's not like, you know, one of those, the rallies where it's like, all right, everybody line up in the morning and we're going to do it's like, you want to go do another thing? Like, I'll see you at dinner, whatever, go do another thing. Like, you know, it's totally fine like that. So, the photographer kid that Rob had out here the last day, he was fucking bitching at me. He was like, all fucking week I had to get rollers of the Urus. Rob told me to get rollers of every car. I couldn't get rollers of your fucking car. I was like, bro, I'm on vacation. Like, I'm not here for you. Sorry,
homie. Yeah.
Like it's your job to find me and get those pictures. When I'm at work, it's my job to make myself available for the camera. I was like, right now, like, I don't give a shit. I paid to be here.
So. Yeah, totally. Like, hey man, if you see me, you see me. If you don't, you don't. I'm getting up early and leaving early. So yeah. I'll be leaving tomorrow at 6 a.m. to go for a hike. You can follow me.
Yeah, you're welcome to join. You want to hike? You know how to come out and have fun. And you know, I'm shooting everything on film, so I don't get to see my pictures for a couple of weeks. I got
eight
rolls of Velvia 50, shot six of them already. And
you doing mostly landscape stuff or a mix?
Landscape, cars, some people, mixing it up.
Cool.
But you know, the light has been really, really good out here. The greens and the blues are fantastic.
Yeah.
And you know, I hope they come out good. I think the town of Jackson is really cool. It was crazy busy today. I hope there are times when it's quieter than that. But very charming, lots of cool restaurants, and Big Sky is really small. Whitefish is pretty cute. We went to Whitefish, Montana for 2 days. That's pretty much the nearest town to Glacier. They had the worst internet I've ever fucking used.
But yeah, they did.
Aside from that,
oh my god,
yeah, that podcast was rough. The further I eventually tethered to my phone as we were driving towards Glacier National Park, and the further I got away from the hotel, the faster the fucking tethering went.
Yeah, it's like 4 bars on tether is faster than most Wi-Fi, and if it shows 3 bars, it might as well be 50%. Like, yeah. Those bars are super random and kind of a lie.
Yeah. So the uploading of last week's show was a fucking nightmare, but you know, I think tomorrow Hannah and I are going to Park City, Utah. We do some hiking there, and then we're going the next night to, I believe, the Dixie National Forest, which is a little side park sort of near Zion, much lesser known. Neither of us have been. We just want to see check it out, do a hike there. And then we drive home. We get home late at night on
29th.
Wednesday or whatever. Yeah, but that's like fucking. It's like almost 3,000 miles in the Urus. That's a lot of driving, and it's a thorough test.
Yeah, that's a very thorough test. Was it sunny all the time? Did you encounter any like rain or?
Yeah, I got 5 minutes of rain.
Oh, okay.
5 minutes of rain in Oregon, and that was it. It's been beautiful. We have perfect summer weather.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Yeah, I don't know what else. The people that were on this event were very chill. The driving was you know, although it was quick, it was mostly responsible. I didn't see too much sketchy stuff, and I only saw one person did some bad math. You know, when you're making those passes, you're doing math. One person's math is a little off. Hello, Hannah. But it was pretty responsible driving. It was good, and no issues, no mechanicals, no one left behind or stranded. And I think small towns just really need to work on learning what a Caesar salad is.
I had no idea where you're headed when you started that sentence. Zero. That's hilarious.
The idea that a Caesar salad is iceberg lettuce with olives and white onions and croutons and Parmesan cheese. That idea has made it to certain restaurants, and this is a real problem.
I mean, wow. That's their interpretation of a Caesar salad, which does happen. You think it would be corrected.
Julio Caesar. Internet,
not, though, you know? Yeah. Yeah.
You can look this up. There is a YouTube video for this, you know.
They're like, no, we do pepperoni pizza with salmon. You're like, what?
it took in Jackson. It was so busy that it took Hannah and I an hour to get a fucking pizza that was made at a 4 level. Hi, Hannah.
Like,
do you want to come say hello to the people? Show them your fancy mask.
Show us your fancy mask.
Hi, Zach.
How you doing, Hannah? I'm looking at dinosaurs on your mask.
She's looking at the titties.
Who is
no.
Maybe I'm going to go into the pool.
Have fun. Hannah's going to go to the pool. The You can't get coronavirus from a pool. Did you know that? I mean, you can get it from like other people that are in the pool, but like they don't leave it behind in the pool if they leave.
Oh yeah, you know, chlorine kills everything. Yeah. It kills. I mean, if your hair follicles die, and those are basically made of like what, carbon. So I think it's pretty stout.
Yeah, dude. Some of the at Yosemite or not Yosemite, Yellowstone. Some of these pools, it's like they bubble with like this sort of acidic boiling water, and it just like a tree will fall in there and just like dissolve.
Whoa.
It's really cool. It's fucking cool. The colors there were amazing.
There's some natural hot springs near Mammoth, and there used to be more of them open, but apparently too many people would jump into the boiling end thinking they were tough and then, you know, turn themselves into chicken soup. They would die.
Yeah.
And it was like roped off with signs, but people would just go, no, I'm tough as fuck. You're like, you're not tougher than boiling water. Like,
yeah, no, at Yosemite, because I'm wearing the fucking shirt and I see myself in the stupid screen. That's why I'm saying that. At Yellowstone, there are signs everywhere saying, this water is literally boiling and you will literally die. Like, it's like,
yeah. You know? And if you're lucky, it's just water. It could be like sulfuric acid. I don't know, whatever else stuff bubbles out of there. A lot of minerals and things.
Yeah, there's minerals and stuff. Yeah.
Because the pools are different colors, right? Some of them are like yellow and blue.
The different colors typically come from bacteria that grow. So what sort of sucks about it is some of the pools are like yellowy orange and it looks amazing. But that's bad. What happens is the vent from below that vents the steam that boils the water, right? That people like at Yosemite throw like rocks and coins and like throw shit into the pools.
No shit.
Yeah. And that clogs the vents over time. And so most of them, they actually dredge out like every year. But it clogs it over time, which cools the temperature of the water, which allow bacteria to grow at like 165 degrees instead of 200 degrees, and the bacteria turns at those really cool colors. So it's beautiful to photograph. It's like this amazing gradient. It looks like agate rock or tiger's eye stone, but it's actually, it should just be blue.
No kidding.
Very clear and blue. If we were in a harmonious ecosystem and shitbags didn't straight up like throw things into the fucking hole, it would be blue and clear.
Yeah. There's a series that, like a nature series that Will Smith hosts and Darren Aronofsky directed. It's called like One Strange Rock. It's all about Earth, obviously.
Yeah.
But they were shooting these crazy mineral pools that are super yellow and orange, but it's because all that's coming out of them is like acid. And it's one of those places where they go, we thought nothing could live here, but actually this bacteria does. But all of the people filming it and all the scientists have to wear special shoes with a special suit, special mask. Like if you breathe the air for 10 seconds, you die or pass out.
It's all sulfuric acid. And
stuff. Yeah, you know, so it's the same color, but this is meant to be that way.
Yeah, yeah. I thought there would be a sulfury smell. And I thought there would be more of a sulfury smell. Like if you stand in a, like in the direct path of a steam vent,
right,
it's a sulfury smell, but there's not just like a constant ambiance of it.
You were expecting like a cow that ate deviled eggs type of smell.
There is across the street a constant poo smell because there's stables and horses shitting, but that's okay, we're in Wyoming.
Horses aren't terrible because they mostly shit grass. It's not great, right. But like
when the wind changes, though, you get it.
We always knew it was going to rain when I was at Boulder because we'd smell cow shit, and it was like bringing the scent from the cattle dryer ranches out in Greeley, and we go, and then snow would show up.
Right. Oh, is that the good? That's the predictor. Oh,
okay. Yeah. Whenever we smelled that weather there, it was. Speaking of predictors,
they're awfully good at predicting geysers at Yellowstone. They're like, this shit's going to go off between 10:15 and 10:45, and
then it does.
Yeah,
just that regular.
Pretty good. Sorry for that kick there. Old Faithful, obviously, is faithful. And there's another one called, I want to say it's called Great Geyser. It might be Giant Geyser. Something with a G. Great or Giant or something like that. It's the largest predictable geyser in the world. It's actually bigger than Old Faithful. Old Faithful is more predictable. This one is a little less predictable.
Great Fountain Geyser?
Great Fountain Geyser. That was it.
Do you know, is it...
It goes 200 feet high. It's crazy.
Whoa!
No, not great. It might have been Giant Geyser. I think Giant Geyser and Great Geyser are different.
This one is... This is in Yellowstone, but there's probably...
They are.
Probably
they're like half a mile.
Great and Giant.
Giant is the one.
Do they occur like so regularly because... You know, they blast off steam and then it cools down a little bit and then water in there and it just gets heated up by lava and it builds up some kind of pressure again.
Yes. It's literally like a tea kettle that never gets turned off. So the lava down below heats an underground pool, which eventually, the difference between a hot spring and a geyser is that a geyser has a choke point where pressure can build up. Hot spring is just magma that heats water and it just goes straight up and you just get a hot pool of water. It never erupts. When a choke point develops is where you get pressure and then it erupts. And so, you know, these things have been going for like, I mean, all throughout all of recorded American history. So they have like, you know, records going back to like the early 1800s, you know, of these things going off and regularly. So it's been going for a while. And not all the geysers are like, some of them, like there's one that's like, it goes off, like it went off like 20 times in 2010 and then once in 2011. And like, so they just don't know. Mm-hmm. And then other ones like Old Faithful, like, yeah, it's between 60 and 90 minutes every time.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's very cool. I mean, it's a perfect tourist attraction then, because mm-hmm. you know it's going to happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not like maybe we'll get lucky,
Yeah, looks super cool. You know, at Old Faithful, certainly they have a very large, almost stadium, you know, set up around it. And most people just fucking stop and look at Old Faithful and leave. But there, we went on like a 5-miler and we probably walked past like 30 geysers. It was awesome. Like,
damn.
Really, really cool. Yeah.
Wow.
And like, we saw a couple of little random ones go off. We saw the big giant one go. It was awesome. It was
really amazing.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah.
Geothermic activity. We didn't have anything like that. We hiked to an 800, how tall is it? A couple hundred foot waterfall called Rainbow Falls outside Mammoth, which you would dig. It's like a 5-mile hike and it's a waterfall that keeps cutting itself away because like, I can't remember, you know, the stone lip where the water goes over is made of one kind of mineral and then below it is a softer one. So as the water trickles down, it erodes that and eventually collapses. So the waterfall has actually moved backwards like 100 feet over the last 50 years or something. But it's
cool.
It's the most like, it's good. You know, it reminds me of Iceland. Remember the waterfalls in Iceland? They're really broad. They fall a very long distance. Rainbow, pool down below, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it takes a little work to get there.
Yeah.
Not just on the side of the road.
You know, I put up on Instagram that we were doing this, and they put up a couple of questions. It's not the kind of thing I'm going to do regularly because we're going back to Super Chat soon. But there's a couple that related to our trip that I just wanted to, like, bang through. I Am Crandy said, does the big, fast SUV replace the classic front engine rear drive GT car as the best road tripper? This is a question that I kind of have already addressed. You know, we don't have a lot of GT cars really in the traditional sense that are left. I mean, the mid-engine cars are certainly more drivable every day than they were before, but the big, you know, the same way that the 911 has found ways to move their rear engine further towards the middle, right? By moving, you know, the front engine cars have done the same thing by getting that engine further back, right? And so that creates less interior room and less comfort. And so actually, I think the question is accurate. I do think a lot of these new fast SUVs, especially the ones with the slopey roofs, have replaced the traditional GT car in a lot of ways. They're driven by oftentimes single men and women, as opposed to people who need that space for their families. They have the big engines and the big rims because they want that power, that muscle feel. And they also provide a lot of comfort and practicality. So I think, yes, I think the market has dictated that. I mean, I've been on this road trip, honestly, like everyone was jealous of me at some point, everybody. Like, I mean, there was Corvettes, there was Lamborghinis, there was Ferraris, there was Porsches, there was Supra. Everyone was jealous of me at some point because on the transit stages, my car was just more comfortable. And on the fast stuff, they weren't losing me, you know? So, yeah. So I think that is correct. Let's see. Jay Bush wants to know, what were the best driving roads on the trip? You know, the problem with this type of trip is we didn't really detour for out of the way driving roads. We had the good transit roads. Most of our routes were off highway, but they were busy. You know, the road was good. It was a nice road. There was just a lot of cars on it. So it wasn't like I was out there just saying, enjoying the road. And I could recommend that people go drive those roads. I mean, the roads by Cannon Beach in Oregon were very nice, which is like Goonies. Like, that's where they filmed Goonies. Cannon Beach was very cool. The roads through Montana were amazing. But I don't have anything in my mind that's like, yeah, go drive like US 50. That's the one. Like, going to the Sun Road was extraordinarily beautiful. The road through Yellowstone was extraordinarily beautiful. And the road in Crater Lake, all those roads in those national parks are extraordinarily beautiful, but they're very slow. You know, they're very slow. And the roads, this is a different thing. You know, we were driving.
Were your transit roads 2-lane roads or 4-lane roads?
It was mostly off major highways. That was the point. We tried to avoid major highways where we could. But the bottom line is, this summer, so many people are road tripping the month of July that the off-highway roads were very busy, and it was very difficult to we could enjoy the view, certainly, but it was very difficult to enjoy the road in a traditional sports car sense. Anyway. Which parts would I go back for and do again? I would come back to Jackson Hole for sure. The other places, I mean, I go to Seattle pretty regularly and I like Seattle, but the other places, maybe I'd go ski at Big Sky for sure, but it was kind of boring otherwise. Like, Jackson Hole seems cool. And if I'd chosen a sports car for the trip instead of this, a 911 would have been the right choice for that. I think the 911 is just the most comfortable and usable sports car for very long transit driving. Or maybe a C8 Corvette. C8 Corvette has a lot of passenger space.
Great ride.
Really good ride. You know, you could take the roof off. A lot of cool opportunities with a C8 Corvette on a road trip like this as well. Let's see. What? Having now driven the Lamborghini Urus, would I still be interested in the Audi SQ8? I'd be interested to test the Audi SQ8 and see what it's like. I think the Audi is a handsomer vehicle than the Urus. I mean, the Urus obviously has Lamborghini design language going on. But the Audi, I think the general proportions and shape of it better fit Audi's design language than Lamborghini's. I know there's an RSQ8 somewhere. I don't think in America. But I would like to check it out. Yes, I would like to check it out. And I am interested in driving it. The next, Fat Kid Photos says, what's the next place that we would like to do a road trip at? Somewhere not in America. So we may have to wait for a minute.
Yeah.
I don't know when we're going to have to do that. But somewhat, it really does, it's nobody's fault. Well, it's a lot of people's fault, but not mine or Rob Ferretti's, that we didn't get to go to Canada on this trip. So I really was looking forward to driving across Western Canada. And it is a total bummer that we didn't get to do it. Next time. Julian F. Patane, favorite story with Rob Ferretti from back in the day. The first ever $500 car challenge was one of the funniest days of my life. The video's on YouTube. Just look up Super Speeders $500 car challenge. You'll see me and my sideburns and Vinny. When I was super thin and Vinny was super fat, it flipped. Let's see. Jay Pauling Official says, would I adopt this style of organized drive for WCCS customers? No. Yes, there is a reason. Back in the day, I started making videos by organizing drives, me and Larry or the New York Motor Club. And having done 50 or 60 organized drives in my youth, I don't need that kind of headache. I don't want to be the guy who signs on the responsibility. You know, organizing these drives is like being the president of a fraternity. It sounds like a good idea, except what you're actually doing is agreeing to be the responsible person for whatever the worst possible case scenario is.
Yeah. And whatever the biggest, dumbest meathead is willing to do.
Exactly.
You're willing to go, yep, I'm in charge of that guy.
I'm with that guy.
I'm with that guy. I represent
exactly
him.
Exactly. And so I think there's enough people putting on organized drives that I don't need to be the one doing. Now, having said that, if anyone who ends up keeping a car with me wants to go on adventure drives, and I can certainly arrange. I would be arranging the shipping of the cars and all that kind of stuff. And I maybe would go, but no, I don't want to be the one who organizes the drives. Rollworks wants to know what I thought of Spokane. Spokane's waterfalls and like that whole river area where we stayed were very beautiful. I went to one very, very nice restaurant, the name of which I do not remember at all. And other than that, The whole city was shut down, closed. Everything was closed. Nothing. Spokane seemed like a very charming city that was utterly devoid of people, which sort of sucked, which was a little part of my depressing first half of that. So yeah, those are some questions I got on the gram about this particular experience.
Excellent.
What else do we have going on? Anything? Whiskey. It's nice.
I don't think so. I didn't bring any whiskey.
Nothing. The percentage of weed stores in small towns in Washington is amazing. You drive through a town that's probably like 2,000 or 3,000 people. There's like 5 ganja stores.
Yeah. they got to the game early.
They did. That was very funny.
And they have the drive-through espresso places are everywhere, which I really like.
Everywhere.
They're cool.
Yeah. I got a lot of drive-through espresso.
Yeah.
I thought I would be I'm surprised it's as busy as it is, honestly. I thought it would be a little more, given how I don't want to say in the middle of nowhere, because it's not in the middle of nowhere, but like it's not a part of the country that I would expect but people are road tripping far as fuck. I met a family of 5 in an F-150 that drove from North Carolina.
Whoa.
I met people have been driving road tripping this summer, I think, really a lot.
Well, I mean, imagine if you don't have, especially if you're like furloughed from work or something and your kid's not in school anymore and their after school or their summer activities were canceled. Like,
yeah.
Some of the people I work with, their kids' summer camps were canceled. And so now they have to figure out something to do with their kids. And if they're willing to like travel to the great outdoors, you know, stay away from people mostly, like that's your option. I mean, when I did this camping trip, I went to the same parking lot 2 years ago and it was half full. And when I went this time, it was completely full and people were parked down the road. People were hiking up a mile to get to the beginning of the trail because it was so busy. I think it's like people have fewer options that are available and that they deem safe. So going out into national parks with lots of space is an option for summer activity.
Yeah. I think if you're going to do that, my advice would be to really be prepared to get up early. Yeah. I mean, like, cause these parks have been real crazy after about 8:30 AM. I mean, real crazy, like enormous traffic jams. And it's been wild.
Well, we went to, remember we did the National Park shoot for Drive a couple of years ago, and we were in Yosemite in July and we needed to get a shot on one of the turnouts and like another one. And it was slammed. And I mean, we went there, it was the afternoon, but it was just buses and vans and people just get out and they take a photo and everyone else lines up and they get a photo. And it's just like an assembly line of iPhones and people speaking different languages, bumping into each other, different like social norms for closeness. And just, it was mayhem. Just trying to get like that one final stand up done for us. And we had a permit, we had a guide, we had a ranger. And even then it was just like, you know, we're trying to deflect volleyballs that are coming in.
Yeah. It was really, 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 really busy in that park. So I would say, you know, definitely if anyone out there plans on doing parks, you know, carry your mask, wash your hands a lot, you know, try to be socially distant, because we definitely don't want to get to the point where the outdoor spaces are so busy that they're not safe anymore.
Right.
You know, I mean, according to our physician, who I spent many hours talking to about this, you know, people passing each other on the sidewalk don't give each other COVID. People passing each other on bicycles don't give each other COVID. That's not how it works. But if 10,000 people are crowding around Old Faithful and sitting on bleachers next to each other for an hour and a half waiting for the next geyser burst,
wow,
that's a different story. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I had this kid walking past me on the high trail. It was him and a friend and me and like nobody else for 40 minutes. And I happened to have my mask around my neck, so I just put it up like as, you know, whatever. And he goes, "Oh man, I'm so sorry. It's buried. I don't know where it is. I can't." And he was so apologetic. I was like, "Calm down, man. Like we're 2,000 feet from the nearest person. We're fine."
No, that's according to an expert who I just spent a week with. Passing someone briefly on a hiking trail is not like, yeah, sure. It's not, you want to show respect, you know, you want to show that you're doing your thing. You throw your mask up for a second and you go about your business, and I'm not going to make fun of you, you know, but if you're really outdoors, this is not a problem.
Yeah. I appreciated his attitude because it meant he was being conscientious and
yeah, exactly,
probably
exactly
on point in crowds and in buildings and stuff.
Exactly.
But I was just like, you can relax, man.
Exactly. I have to say, I think that people for the most part, you know, for the most part out here, even what I gather from just observing locals is that the great majority is on board with that kind of shit. It sucks. It's super annoying. It's super annoying. No one wants to do it. It super sucks.
But I don't find it like, put it in the mat. It doesn't bother me that much. It's like air goes through it. I put it on.
It's annoying. You know why I find it annoying? Because it blocks the nonverbal communication that I have with all different kinds of people in all different kinds of ways throughout my day. It's not about breathing. It's not about that. It's literally like I can't read expressions and be read, you know, anymore in a lot of ways. And I, so it's harder for people to tell when you're joking. It's harder. It's just like, yeah, it sucks. It sucks but like you do it. Cause you're not, you do it for the same reason. You don't drive through downtown Manhattan at 100 miles an hour, and you don't drive drunk, and you wear your seatbelt, and any other number of fucking social norms that we do, you know, because we accept that we live in a society. But it sucks. Right. It sucks. But traveling, the plane was I felt a little shady on the plane, even though the airline did everything that I thought Delta did a really good job, actually, of making people feel comfortable and not selling center seats and stuff like that, boarding back to front. And, you know, it was here's one. Delta will serve you beer or wine or liquor in first class, but will not serve you soda.
What?
Yeah. Yep. Would you like a beer or wine, sir? No, but I'd love a Fresca. Delta has Fresca. I'd love a Fresca. Oh, we don't have soda. I'm sorry? Only beer and wine. Okay.
Is that why? Because they don't want to share the... What? Like, sorry, know. There's a burping problem that has been...
I didn't want to make a big deal out of whatever the rules are, and I didn't want to be that guy, but yeah, I don't know. No soda.
Well, it's probably because they basically try to share every can. You know, they pour you half and then they put it in the thing unless you ask for the can.
Oh,
and
maybe.
If they give you the can, it raises the cost. But
it could be that, or it could be that they want to spend less time standing next to the people. Maybe. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Less time standing in the aisles. I don't know. Delta did a pretty decent job, but I wouldn't do too much flying unless I really, really had to, because the whole, it was a real pain in the ass. But, you know, summer road trip, you know, the hotels are all doing a good job of enforcing mask stuff. The rooms feel, you know, clean. Yeah, I don't even feel clean. You know, what does that mean? Who the fuck, you know, you gotta be willing to have some level of risk.
Yeah.
We had a doctor taking our temperature every single morning.
Right.
So nobody got coronavirus, or nobody, I can't say nobody got it, because we got to wait a few days till after everybody gets home, but nobody brought coronavirus to the trip.
That's good. Because I think there was I skipped doing, what's it called? Radwood Drive. God damn it.
Oh, I forget the name of it. Coastal Range.
Coastal whatever. Range. You know, I was going to do that and I skipped it because I got sick, and then someone after Coastal Range got COVID.
And no, it's like, really?
Yeah, for real. They didn't share it with too many people in the group, but like a person that came out of that was sick with it. So,
oh yeah.
And, you know, you're sitting around a table or a fire all night talking to each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go camping, sit far apart from people.
Probably, yeah. Okay. Back porches, big back porches.
Yeah. All facing the same direction. Don't want to face each other from too close. Well, it sounds like a rad trip. Sounds like a really good trip.
Yeah. It was a good time. It was good. It's good to get out. I got 3 more days on the road, 3 more days of hiking, but it's been, it was good to get out of LA for the first time in 4 months. And, you know, I'm hoping that when I get back, we can start moving into the studio.
I know.
Fuck me.
This Any word going, from the fire marshal, Bill?
The holding pattern. The answer is holding pattern.
Okay. All right.
I haven't thought about it in a couple days.
Don't think about it. Let's move on.
And I'm trying. Seriously. I'm just trying to not.
I shouldn't have brought it up. We'll move on.
Yeah. 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 You got anything else, or should we just call this while we're ahead, and I can wait till we get back to finish it up?
No, I didn't have any other. There's no vehicular stories. You know, I was off grid the whole time, so I was just walking around. That's it.
Yeah. You were walking. I was driving. I'm going to have, you know, my Instagram film photo dump when I get back, and I'm writing a story for Road and Track about the car and the experience. And so I'll have that. I didn't bring cameras, GoPros, because there's just no point. Anytime I've ever made any kind of road trip content, it's a crazy amount of work. It's a crazy amount of footage. It takes me out of the thing, out of the element, the fun that I'm having. It is a crazy amount of editing work and story crafting on the back end, and then 12 people watch it. I have never ever, not just never made a profit, I've never come close. I've never not lost my ass on a road trip video. So we're not doing that. That's just, so yeah. Rob made a road trip video. I'll share that shit.
Yeah. If you want to have an idea of what it was like, watch that video.
Exactly. Until next week, not next week, Thursday, I guess, right? It might be a little, this Thursday show might be a Friday show, because I get back, I think, late Wednesday night.
Yeah.
We have to record on Thursday.
Yeah.
So sorry for the fucked up schedule, but your boy needed to go on a little vacation, and it is what it is. This show's free, bitch. The Smoking Tire Podcast is powered by ShoutEngine. Get your own damn podcast at ShoutEngine.com. It's easy. All you need is a microphone, a connection to the internet, even if you're in the Snake River Lodge in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, and something to say, 90 minutes worth, preferably. Zach, good call, buddy.
Yeah, man. Good to see you. Glad we're both alive, and I'll see you in a few days.
Yeah,
enjoy the rest of your relaxing vacation.